We will call the Gage County Board of Supervisors meeting for Wednesday, April 20th, 2022, to order 8:45. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation, Jurgen, Taxby, Schuler, Tiemann, Dorn, and Lytle. We've lost Supervisor Byers here to health complications. He served on the Board of Supervisors a couple times for multiple years, as well as being our longest-serving state senator from our area. I'd like to honor him here this morning with just a brief moment of silence. Thank you, Mr. Byers. Senator Byers was laid to rest yesterday, and he's definitely going to be missed. He was a unique voice here with a lot of unique perspectives for a lot of years, and he spent, I believe, almost 40 years in public service. But beyond that, I think he literally spent longer than that campaigning and caring just about the people in our area. So he'll definitely be a presence that we miss for a long time here. Next on the agenda is our consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held April 6th, 2022. Approve all claims through April 20th, 2022 in the amount of $3,618,792.88. Accept claim number 2204-0183 to Hard Rock Quarries LLC in the amount of $8,988.55. Claim number 2204-00186 to Johnny's Welding, Inc. in the amount of $227.14. And claim number 2204-0197 to RL Tiemann Construction, Inc. in the amount of $27,073.70 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve receiving and placing on file the 2021 annual report for the Odell Volunteer Fire and Rescue. Approve utility permit number 1241 to Roars Machinery. Roars will be placing a new 480-volt electrical line and 8-inch water line to new pivots. Roars will dig one 14-inch wide by 5-foot deep trench in county right-of-way and across township road for new lines for pivots located in the southeast section of 12, northeast section of 13, Township 2, North Range 6 East, Sicily Township. Approve utility permit number 1242 to Northern Natural Gas. Northern Natural Gas will be replacing a block valve on the line and will need to occupy the county right-of-way for work and will also, at a later date, need to close Scott Road between 103rd Road and 117th Road to run a bypass pipe over the road during installation. Construction is scheduled to start May 2nd, but road closure would not happen until July. Located in the northeast section of 4, Township 3 North, Range 5 East, Lincoln Township, and southeast section 33, Township 4 North, Range 5 East, Blakely Township. Approve adding Emily Haxby to Region 5 Systems. Approve quote from Masonry Construction for removal of waterproof sealant on the entire north elevation, including chimneys and returns at the east elevation of the courthouse in the amount of $49,313. Are there any questions on any of the items for the consent agenda?
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Lytle. Second by Dorn. Item 8, Region 5 Systems. That was a position that we had Mr. Byers on. Ms. Haxby is already on Region 5 Services. Any additional discussion? Seeing none, please vote. 6 in favor, motion carries. Regular agenda, approve or disapprove claim number 22040183 to Hard Rock Quarries LLC in the amount of $8,988.55 and claim number 22040197 to RL Team and Construction Inc. in the amount of $27,073.70. These are two companies I am associated with.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Juergens, second by Dorn. Any discussion? Please vote. 5 in favor with Thiemann and abstaining. Motion carries. Approve or disapprove claim number 22040186 to Johnny's Welding, Inc. in the amount of $227.14. This brings the total amount of claims approved through April 20th, 2022 to $3,655,082.27.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Lytle. Any discussion? Please vote. 5 in favor with Juergens abstaining. Motion carries. Comments from the public or requests for future agenda items. Good morning. Will you give your name and address for the record?
Yeah. My name is Ashley Mason. I'm at 1300 Lincoln Street here in Beatrice. So I'm here today to be fully transparent about why I decided to show support for the efforts of the recall of Don Schuler. Don's actions on this council violated his oath to the Constitution and the constituents of Gage County. I spoke with the filer and took the time to listen to the meetings with Don's votes in question. America is not a republic. America is a representative democracy founded by the people for the people. County supervisors are to only serve as their constituents. As their constituents want. I want this board to know that Don has stated that he thinks it's inappropriate for someone outside his district to file, but he feels confident in actively recruiting people to run against his fellow supervisors. What Don does on this board affects the entire county, not just his district. We can't have narrow-mindedness on this board. That is why the law is written the way it is, to protect the people from those who seek too much power. When there is an imbalance between what the people want and what the elected are doing, it is the people's responsibility to step up and act. There is never a need to wait out an election cycle to replace those who are not truly serving their constituents. Each supervisor here took an oath to be the civil servant of the people, knowing that their role in the government is solely to protect the rights of the individual person. This means that they are to serve the people, to do as the people want, to vote as the people want. To be transparent with the numbers, Don Schuler's district has just over 1,900 people. During his election cycle, he was the only name on the ballot. He received just over 900 votes. That is not a landslide victory. The people had no one else to choose. In addition to those votes casted, over 400 people did choose to write in another candidate because they didn't believe that Don would serve them. They had a better understanding of their rights during an election cycle. To be fully transparent, as a civil servant, you have no power over the constituents in your district. They have the power to hold each of you accountable to the oath you took and the law you swore to protect. Yet time and again, as volunteers went door to door to collect signatures, the volunteers were told, and I quote by some, "If I sign this petition, I fear the retribution I will receive from Don Schuler." No citizen of Gage County should ever fear their elected, and the citizens are in fear. Don himself went door to door telling people it was wrong for them to support this recall. It was wrong for someone outside his district to call him out on his failings. He believes it's too easy for the people to file a recall against the elected. While volunteers go out today, continuing to gather signatures and accurately, without fear or intimidation, educate the people in your district, Don, that they, the people, are in fact the balance needed, for our government to stay within its limits and that each civil servant works for them. I want you to know that no matter the results of this recall, you, Don Schuler, County Supervisor for District 6 in Gage County, are not powerful. You are to be a servant daily, not just when your poor actions have been called into question. The people are watching and they are not fooled. You are to only vote the way the Constitution and the people want. Your record speaks for itself. You chose to ignore the voice of the people who have signed this recall already and will continue to sign today. Your opinion and your desire to control, along with your manipulative actions, have no place in this county. While some have told the volunteers that they are afraid to sign, they are also saying that they are disappointed and repulsed by your actions, Don Shuler, and they will not be voting to reelect someone who so blatantly is seeking to run this county through intimidation and fear. If nothing else, I ask that you stop blaming others for your inability to truly listen. Your attempt at transparency is not the issue. Your constituents want you to stop talking and to truly listen to what they have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Mason. Anyone else for public comment? Anything not on the agenda coming up? All right. We will move into committee reports. Building and ground winter lights. Good morning, Mr. Jones.
Good morning, everyone. Mainly, I just brought up, we did have the proposal. Thank you for approving, for having Masonry Construction come down, and they are going to tackle the whole north side of the building all in at one time. Usually, we do it in sections. The north side will be a nice side as far as no pedestrian traffic or anything like that. And so that bid was for just for washing the stone and inspecting the stone for damage. And then they would come back later and with a bid for repointing and any repair work that they find. And other than that, I'm still trying to stay on top of things needed that just waiting to get some bids on some projects coming up. So I will stay on top of those, and hopefully we'll get some traction going here soon.
How's your coal chute hole in the side of the building roof project coming along?
I talked to Masonry Construction. He would be getting close to ready. He did not order the stone yet. He talked to them, and they said that they could get it fairly soon. I talked to Sean Van Lanningham, and he knows this is coming up, and so I will keep bugging him until I can get him. And I'm probably going to ask to make sure that he is still interested. If he's not, I might talk to another masonry person. It's mainly just a small job of putting down just a small course of cinder block and then ripping off the existing shed. So it's not a terribly big job. I would think it's a 2-day deal. So hopefully we can get that project going here. I was going to just fill in that wall also, so when they do come, they can tear off the shed, and we will have a secure wall behind it until they do get the block wall up. So when we're talking a 10 by 10 foot area and a 4 by 6 foot area. So hopefully 2x4s won't break the bank.
You're not getting new ones, are you?
Well, I was planning on it, but I don't know.
No further update out of the extension as far as any remodel or changes?
I'll talk to Todd again. We did go out there. He is working on a proposal. He did kind of outline a design. I'm going to wait for his proposal before I do call out for bids. He's always been very helpful for giving me ideas on specifications and things like that. So I'm sure that job's going to come in at a price where we'll have to get the 3 bids on it. So,
all right. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Anything else for building and grounds? Equalization. First half due May 1st. Anything else from equalization? Looks like Patty raised everybody's residentials. Ag land stayed stable. Finance and insurance, Mr. Juergens.
Large ticket items. The number one, Gage County transfer of funds, $3,351,032. This consists of 4 different transfers. Number one is the judgment for $1.255 million. Second one is to the highway department, $1.6 million. Third one is a transfer to 9/11 funds for $98,531.32. Last but not least, building and grounds, $50,000. Other items, Region 5 Systems, quarterly payment, $13,639. Washington County Sheriff's Office, inmate boarding, $13,950. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel for Rock for $85,726.89. Midwest Petroleum Equipment, materials for fuel system down at the county barn, replacement $16,260. RL Team and Construction, gravel and hauling, $27,073.70. And SAP Brothers Petroleum Incorporated, fuel and oil, $31,113.33. City Beatrice, fourth quarter ambulance service fee, $56,811.
Thank you, Mr. Jurgens.
Large ticket items.
Anything else for finance and insurance? Human resources, employee relations, we didn't really have anything on that. Law enforcement, emergency management, the sheriff is out right now. Lisa, do you have anything for us for P&Z or EM?
Sure. Just a couple notes. Just want to identify and thank the Daily Sun, also and KWB for allowing us to go online. And also in an interview for the fire hazards that we've had the last couple weeks and just general precautions that we're asking landowners to take. As most would know, last Tuesday night, we had in our county three significant fires, which required a lot of mutual aid. And then we had to add another severe weather component to that, which was also on the night of our zoning meeting. We ended up having to cancel that zoning meeting. Everything was on board as of 5:20. Everybody was coming in for the meeting, and then we had the fire at Philly breakout, which took out two. And then also we had one individual that was down in the Hanover area and then one that was at the Big Indians. So, but, yes, press has helped us. We went in with four fire chiefs just to explain some fire precautions for landowners and even the challenges that Beatrice fires had just in yard fires and so forth. So we thank them for giving us that opportunity. As far as zoning is concerned, we'll move forward again with another meeting. We're set for May 26th. However, I have not been able to meet with our chairman and vice chair to see how that will work out on scheduling. We may schedule the first part of June. So just because of farming practices, making sure we can get quorum there. So any questions from me?
Those were too close to home.
Those were
by Philly. That
and Big Indian was a huge concern. The one that was involved several agencies, with just our sheriff's office having to patrol Highway 8, things like that. So, yes.
From planning and zoning.
Yes.
With wind turbines in Lancaster County. If somebody lives on the county line in Page County, does the setback apply to them if they're a non-participant in Lancaster County?
So as far as our one-mile jurisdiction, it would not. But all the proper notifications would be coming from Lancaster County, just like if you use it for an example when we were doing the project with the agronomy project or the NH3 project. Lancaster County would be required to notify all landowners within Gage County also. And so they would have to comply by their regulations. However, that still gives the landowner and we as a zoning commission the opportunity to express our concerns through the public comment process. So, and in that project hearing process. So, but I will follow up with the county attorney also on that. So, but other questions?
Anything else for Lisa? Thanks. Thank you much. Road and Bridge, Mr. Jurgens.
LRM, or Lotman Ready Mix, will have gravel to test soon. These are comments Mark had made. RL Teeman continues to haul gravel from Columbus, have 12 of 24 townships completed for spring of 2021 gravel. Ellis Blacktop is having some breakup issues. Mark plans on repair in this area sometime this summer. That's it.
With that, we will move on to Ms. Stoner. She has the extension update.
Hello?
Could you give us your name for the record, name and organization?
Nicole Stoner with Gage County Extension. So I have a couple things. Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'll go this one. So, Amy, we'd like to give you that report.
Thank you.
So you get the big one, Eric. Everyone else gets the shortened version.
All right.
So in that I gave you has like our budget stuff as well as our full annual reports from there's mine, JC, Tara, and Nathan in there. We have Wade Pick and Paw is our new beef educator from where's she located from? Johnson County, sorry. And then Ingrid is in Saline County and she's covering us for the learning child. So we now have all of our areas covered. And what's Ingrid's last name? Do you remember? I don't remember it.
No, she's a new hire.
she's a very new hire. so I can't remember her last name, but she's in Saline County covering us for that other. So all the areas of extension will be covered. We have a person in place now. But those are the reports from the ones who were here last year. So then you guys all got the shortened version. And so that's the first one is that impact at a glance. So this is the full Gage County. Just kind of our big impacts that for the whole county. So you can read through there a little bit on how 1 in 3 K through 12 youth were impacted by 4-H programming. And I have 4,500 plus listeners to Yard and Garden. And then, of course, the big one is the garden produce rescue that Tara and I worked on. And Tara did a lot more of the work on that one. I helped with the gardening side. But so we kept garden produce out of the landfill. And over 50 youth were involved. We had master gardeners helping. And it provided produce to veterans and homebound seniors for 10 weeks. So it was a really good program. So then throughout, you get just like the 2-page report from each of our educators so that you just know a little bit about what's going on. I didn't think you wanted to read through the full, like, I don't remember, 5 or 6-page report that we do annually. So a couple pieces I thought I'd bring out. For Tara, last year she taught ServSafe food handler and youth food safety programs to 198 individuals. So that is a good thing. And then she also worked on starting a food coalition, and she partners with all sectors of the food system. So she's been working with local growers and things like that and starting this food coalition. So that's been a really great thing for the community. As for JC, with the youth development side, she did the Connecting the Dots program, and the Sheriff's Department, I know, helped, and a lot of other areas. But she did the 280 freshmen and 25 employers. So 94% of the youth stated that the program helped with their college decisions. And she also is helping with the Youth Leadership Beatrice program. She did last year, and she is again this year. And she had 14 youth through an 8-month program to solve a problem in their community. A couple things that I worked with. I had 12 different programs for 476 clientele on all kinds of plant topics. And I also had, last year I had 42 master gardeners. And they were through 5 different county programs, and so they did 820 hours of education and over 1,078 volunteer hours. So quite a bit of work through those master gardeners. They help a lot around town. You might notice, like, at the library, they do a lot of the gardens there. They're the ones that do the seed library. They work with a lot of, the gazebo across from Skateboard Park. They do that landscape. They do the landscape at the extension office. So there's a lot of different areas where they're working, helping manage gardens in the communities. And then just a couple things for Nathan. He added a new UNL Mesonet weather station. So that's actually located at Wilbur. And what that's doing is giving us more local weather data. So I like it because I can get a more local, more accurate description of, like, our soil temperatures for the area, because otherwise they're, like, Firth would be the closest. So that's really nice. And he's, I think, talking about doing maybe another one in Gage County somewhere as well. He also worked with the inaugural Southeast Nebraska Alfalfa and Wheat Expo. He did that from a needs assessment in 2020. He got 68 attendees, and 100% stated that it was above average to one of the best local agronomy programs they've attended. He's also a co-PI working with other extension specialists on a $1.2 million USDA-funded project on precision nitrogen wheat and corn management, and had the first field day for that in Gage County last year. So just some updates from us. But this is, so this would be from 2021, so all of that data is there. But we have to, hadn't been able to get here till now. February and March are a little busy for me with programming, pesticide training, and all that. So
Nathan's really working with wheat management, isn't he?
Yeah, he said, well, so the corn and soybean side has been, you know, a lot of people have been doing it for a long time. They're pretty good at that. But the wheat is maybe a little understated, I guess. And so he's trying to get that information out because there's corn and soybean days in other areas fairly close by. So he wanted to do a wheat one to provide that area.
Any questions for Nicole?
You get any really off-the-wall questions on Yard and Garden?
Oh, always.
Do you listen?
Sometimes.
You don't? I thought you were an avid listener.
I am an avid listener. Sometimes it is. Some of the questions are...
Some of them are off the wall.
Does it take you a little bit to...
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes I have to get through that, but it's fun. I love doing the show. It's, the first few times made me very nervous, but I'm getting used to it now. So after this many years.
You have a lot of repeat questions.
Yeah. And unfortunately for this year, it's been so cold that most of the time it's, yeah, you can't do that yet. And so I'm not getting a ton of calls yet this year, but it'll pick up if the weather would ever cooperate.
Last Friday.
As we all want, right?
Last Friday, there was a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's too early yet. It's too cold.
It's too early. I know.
What are the soil temps?
I just actually just looked. It actually went down. It was at 48. It's at like 47, I think it said. So it went down just a little bit. That was only the Firth one. But, yeah. The Wilbur one is not quite working at the soil temperature yet. It says it's like 176 degrees.
It seems warm.
It seems a smidge warm.
Might be a little bit hot.
That's the summer.
Yeah.
Must
maybe
been the
July.
Other day when the wind was blowing and it was 90 degrees.
Right, right.
Thank you very much for everything you guys do out there, Nicole.
Thank you. You guys have a good one.
Move the place report on file.
Second.
We have a motion by Lytle, second by Haxby to place the extension update on file. Any discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Up next, Ashley Grease on the annual probation update.
I'm going to work on next year coming up with the wall question for Yard and Garden.
Do you give your name and organization, please, for us?
Good morning. I'm Ashley Grease. I'm the Chief Probation Officer with District 1, and with me today is Chris Reese, our drug court coordinator in the district. And we came today to bring you kind of a yearly update and some things happening in probation and drug court. And I do have a resource here to give each of you.
I'm going to use my folders.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for taking time out to let us come and have the opportunity to share some updates as it relates to probation and drug court. Some of the information that we will be sharing is more of a yearly update and would be from 2021, some demographic information to share a little bit more about the population that we serve in your area here. And some of the information is more current-to-date information about our staff and some of that makeup as well. So to start off with, I put in here just our vision and mission, just to share with you as an agency what we believe in, what we strive for on a daily basis. The next page in there shows you just the breakdown of the counties that we serve in District 1. This is the same for probation and for drug court. We do have some individuals, and Chris will talk more about that, that might reside in an outside county but come to drug court in one of the two drug courts that we serve over. But for District 1 probation, we have 10 counties. We serve Fillmore, Gage, Jefferson, Johnson, Nemaha, Odo, Pawnee, Richardson, Saline, and Thayer. The breakdown of some of those different populations that we serve, we utilize evidence-based assessments to drive risk levels and determine what supervision will look like. And that's in conjunction with the offense that the individuals are placed on probation for. So you'll see the top portion shows the different types of adult populations that we serve through probation. The ones towards the top are more intense supervision. We're meeting with them more frequently. They're more involved in programming and services. And the further you get down, the lower the level of supervision that they may receive. Anything from that community-based intervention up is a really high-risk population that we're involved more, providing more programming, providing more services. We're in their homes more frequently, meeting with their treatment providers, things like that. In the bottom section there, that gives you a breakdown of our juvenile population that we serve. We also work with predisposition youth, so youth that have been adjudicated but have not gone to court for disposition. We will intervene early on and provide some programming when the court orders it to try and help that youth be successful in the family. In addition to these, we also do investigations. So we do investigations for adult and juvenile populations before they get sentenced or go through disposition in court to provide the judge in the court with some additional background information to make a better sound decision. The next page in there just kind of gives you a glance of what our district is made up of. We have 44 staff members when we're fully staffed. We had, in 2021, we served 1,161 clients over the 10 counties for probation. We work with the district judges and county court judges. We work closely with Region 5 for behavioral health services. We work with DHHS. There are multiple cases that we have that are considered crossover cases where they might be duly involved in both probation and involved with DHHS that we work hand in hand. And we work closely with law enforcement, treatment providers, educators, and attorneys in the counties that we serve. The next part there just kind of gives you an idea of who specifically helps serves here in Gage County. So those are the staff that we have here right now. I do have a couple of vacancies right now that we're working to get filled, and actually we just had some updates to this that we could change just within the last week that we've been able to fill some positions. But we have a variety of adult high-risk probation officers here, low-risk juvenile drug court officers that help serve in the area, drug technicians, and then our management team. In 2021, Here in Gage County, we served 58 juveniles and 293 adults. Taking that information and just breaking it down a little bit further, the next few slides in there are just to share with you the demographics of that population. So for age, the juvenile, the majority were at that 29% were of age 16, and then in close second, 17 at 27% and 18 at 22, so all kind of relatively close. On the adult side, the majority were between the age of 18 and 30 at 38%, and the next closest from 31 to 40 at 33%. For race, for both juvenile and adult, the majority were Caucasian. The next closest on the juvenile side was 6% African American, and on the adult side, the next closest was American Indian or Alaskan Native at 5%. For ethnicity, for both juvenile and adult, the majority were not Hispanic. For the juvenile, that was 92%, and for adult, 96%. And for gender, for the juvenile, it was fairly close. For male, we had 59%, and for female, 41%. On the adult, it was 72% for male and 28% for female. The next couple of slides talk about service programming that we offer through probation. The amounts on the right there, this is for juvenile, shows what the state paid for services for individuals that are in your community. So these are state dollars that we paid for different services. Services could be treatment level of services. I know there's some abbreviations on there. We use a lot of abbreviations, but like PRTF is Psychiatric Residential Treatment Facility. MH is for mental health. So you'll see on there some different levels of treatment level care, some of those being in-home, some of those being out-of-home, and then a different level of in-home services that we can provide to individuals as well to keep them in the community. For the adult side, on the next one on the right, again, is the breakdown of this is what the state contributed for, we call it voucher money, to help individuals get the services that they need. We know that both in the youth and the adult world that individuals come to us and there might be some barriers, whether those barriers are financial, transportation. We want to help those individuals be successful, so we really work to help bridge those gaps and those barriers so that they are able to access the services that they need. So on the right side, again, you'll see different levels of treatment level services and other interventions that we can utilize with individuals, transitional living. The SUD is substance use disorder, so we can do different levels of evaluations. Continuous alcohol monitor is an alcohol monitor bracelet that they wear around their ankle to determine if there's any alcohol use within any time period. So you'll see some other different options there. We also are fortunate to have, we have two reporting centers in our district, one that is based here in Gage County and the other that's based out of Odo County in Nebraska City. And what we can do is we contract with outside providers to come in and provide free programming to individuals that are on probation and in drug court to be able to access different levels of programming classes to help them be successful and help them learn the skills that they need. It is also open to the public. So it is kind of first come. We try and prioritize that for any individuals that are on probation or in drug court, but that does open up then to the public for anybody in the community that would like to be able to access those services. And one of the good things that came out of the pandemic that we learned was the ability to use our virtual connections to be able to do things more virtually. So in some of our more rural counties, they're able to get involved in some of that programming if they have transportation gaps, and they can join that virtually. So on the left there, you'll see some different types of programming that we have. That's not all, but that gives you kind of a good idea of some of the programming that we offer through our reporting centers. The next two pages gives you more relevant, more current data as it relates to recidivism. So first, starting with adult recidivism, this is measured here based off of since being released from probation, not committing any sort of new law violation within 3 years of being off probation. So you'll see there, as of March 28th when I pulled this, we had an 81% success rate of individuals that did not recidivate. And this was here specific to Gage County. Same for juvenile, only the difference is we don't have as long of a history to show up to 3 years. So we have for 1 year from successfully being released from probation and not receiving any sort of new law violations. Here for the juvenile population, we're at 82% success rate. The next little bit of information Chris is going to go over is just to kind of share some nationwide and local data around our drug courts and the work that they're doing.
Good morning.
Good morning.
As Ashley already mentioned, we run two problem-solving courts, drug court specific, in our 10-county area. One is based out of Wilbur, and one is based out of Auburn. Right now, due to the retirement of Judge Johnson, Judge Schreiner is our interim drug court judge in Wilbur, and in Auburn is Judge Smith. The Wilbur Drug Court, which was primarily supported by Gage and Saline County, began in 2007. It was one of the first drug courts in Nebraska. And the drug court in Auburn is a relatively new drug court. It was started in 2019, and we just had our first graduating class. We graduated six people in January, I think it was. So problem-solving courts in general are on the rise nationwide. Here are some general statistics about nationwide crime information. In essence, problem-solving courts offer an option to incarceration. More than 80% of crime is drug or alcohol-fueled. When these folks are sent to prison, half are rearrested within the first year of release, and over two-thirds are rearrested within 3 years of release, with a very high recidivism rate of 76.6%. So to help combat this issue, there's been a development of drug courts across the United States to really help target that percentage, that 80% mark that I gave you that leads to the commission of crime. Drug courts operating in all 50 states. There's over 70,000 drug court clients that are being served at any given time in the United States. Drug courts are also very cost efficient compared to incarceration. The savings is lined out in the PowerPoint there. We serve a diversity of offenders with little disparity based on race, ethnicity, or gender. And our graduation rates in the state of Nebraska exceed national standards. One of the keys to problem-solving court, as you see in the little picture there, is long-term substance abuse supervision. So we'll get to the number of phases in our program momentarily. One of the errors in addiction treatment is if folks go to, like, a residential treatment program, they're there for 30 days and there isn't any follow-up, if there isn't any structure, those folks are highly likely to recidivate. Problem-solving court follows up with these folks long-term. We serve nonviolent felony drug offenders. These folks are high-risk, high-need. They typically lack in access to treatment or the motivation to engage in treatment. Many of them are homeless, couch surfing. Many of them have not maintained employment. They have few employment skills. The minimum length of a program for drug court is 18 months. It can go as long as 36 months. The overall plan is to reduce recidivism through targeted interventions. So this isn't a program that one plan fits all. It's individualized based on a number of different assessments and skill planning, success planning. One of the keys to the success of a problem-solving court is in the first two phases, these folks meet face-to-face with the judge every week to be accountable for their treatment, for following their structure. That's every single week for the first two phases. And then it goes to every other week. Then it goes to once a month. That's one of the key components in holding folks accountable is having that structure. The judge not only points out what's not going well, but elaborates on what they're doing well. That's what I'm reviewing regarding consistent oversight. Average days in the program, this is based on our program. The typical mark for phase one is 60 days. That's the set amount. But our average is about 110 days in phase one. That's typical. Most people in phase one are starting their treatment, so it usually goes over that 60-day mark. Phase two average number of days is 146 and onward. So some of our services Ashley already alluded to. So I'm on this page here. This approach includes but is not limited to the weekly and the biweekly or monthly appearances in court, drug and alcohol treatment programs, many of which are provided by the region or partially funded by Region 5 services. There's different levels of drug and alcohol treatment. Everybody has a substance abuse evaluation. It can be outpatient, intensive outpatient, which includes a group and an individual component, or residential treatment. Employment services are referred to those that need that. It includes home and office visits. Those home visits are random. Some are planned. Frequent and random drug testing. And then group services that can include those services through the reporting center that Ashley already referred to. It can be pre-treatment, trauma classes. They can also be referred to trauma treatment through an individual therapist. What we call cognitive restructuring classes, our supervision officers are trained to administer those. It's called moral recognition training. So the concept is if we can change the way you think, it changes your behavior. Those usually take three of the phases to complete those classes. And then individual skill building, and it's rated on or selected based on what that individual needs. Here's just some demographics for you. The drug court population doesn't differ much from the population that is on probation supervision. 94% of the folks are Caucasian that are served. The next major population is American Indian. When we look at the age group, our most popular age group in drug court is ages 21 to 25. We're seeing more and more young folks enter drug court. And then it goes on about the ages. Participant gender is just about equal, 51% female, 49% are male. That's about the same as last year. There's also a cost comparison for the different levels of supervision provided through probation and through problem-solving court. Juvenile probation cost per day is $20.99. A good share of the juveniles on probation do not require that funding that Ashley alluded to. Their needs are met just by a probation supervision officer. Adult problem-solving costs per day are $7.85. The TIP, the SAS, the PRS, those are your super high-risk clients. You'll see that that cost goes up significantly because there's more contact, there's more services. The average cost of prison per day is $98.49, and the average cost of jail, again, this is an overall average. I realize every county differs in their cost. Some of that is because of contracted costs, but an overall average is $45. So that concludes the presentation on drug court in general. Is there any questions I can answer about how drug court works?
Or probation.
Or probation.
I've got a couple odd, or just a couple curiosity questions. In this day where we don't judge anything based on race or sex, why do we so fervently monitor what race or sex our participants are?
There's still some work to be done in regards to ensuring that there's fair and equal participation and treatment provided to all folks. So we still monitor that to see how we're doing.
Is there any work requirement in drug court?
Yes. You must work a minimum of 20 hours per week, or you have to do community service. And we check up on that. There's also a community service requirement of 50 hours before you can graduate, separate from if you're not working requirement.
Good. Probation, drug court questions?
Actually, I appreciate both your work, obviously, but in regard to the juvenile costs, and you break down as far as once they're on probation. Until they get on probation, we got expenses out there, pre-adjudication services, et cetera. Could you just comment briefly on the coordination with the Crime Commission grants, which our diversion coordinator administers, as far as when little kids are running off or getting in trouble before we can get a court to get them in court? We may need an electronic monitor or drug testing or evaluations and stuff. And there is a coordination, isn't there, not with
yes,
probation? Absolutely. If you just briefly, because there's a lot of money there.
Sure. Yeah, thanks, Roger. So one of the things that I did not indicate is that one of the things that probation does is we do, it's called juvenile intake. So law enforcement has access to contact us 24 hours a day, anytime. We have a on-call rotation where we have an officer and a supervisor on call at all times. And if they've cited a youth or if they're a runaway, they have a warrant, things like that, they can contact us and we can intervene early on. And what Roger's talking about is we work closely with the Crime Commission and they provide a lot of that funding up front for those individuals that might not be on probation yet, so that we can help provide some of those services before they get to court and even after they go to court until they get transferred over to a formalized probation or until they get to that predisposition level.
And the importance of those funds, if we don't have them,
who
gets to pay them from the county?
Well, as you know, Roger, statute requires pre-adjudication be county funded.
Yep.
So Christina Lyons is still here. She's critical in working with us in that. So they have to. Each county has to fill out a grant proposal to the Crime Commission to apply for funds that help offset the county's requirement to pay that. And if we didn't work with Christina and her team, the county would be paying more money for that, for one thing. But it's a great marriage to work with them. They provide great interventions. Mm-hmm. It's typically the same services. Once the youth is adjudicated or in the adult world found guilty of the offense, then the state takes over funding. So we have to make sure we work in cooperation with them to make sure that they're not paying for something that they shouldn't be paying for, and we are paying for something through state funds. So we couldn't do it without that collaboration.
I appreciate it, because there's a lot of people that work together that I don't know, and I don't need to know how you're doing it. It's when all that breaks down and we can't keep the kids in the home or in the community, then we have to go through a court system, take them out of their home, and of course all the people tell you that's a bad thing.
Yeah, absolutely. There's been many kids in Gage County that had not had to enter the system because of those pre-adjudication services. Christina and her folks, through their program, were able to serve them to the point they didn't have to enter the system formally. So that's a big win.
Thank you.
And, of course, Roger works back and forth with this, where a lot of us don't have to see this, which...
You're seeing the people that help make that happen.
So we thank you. Any other questions for probation or drug court? Thank you, Ashley and Chris.
Thank you. Thanks for your support.
We have to put this on file.
Ask for a motion to place the annual probation update and the drug court updates on file.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Haxby. Any additional discussion? Please vote. Five in favor, motion carries. We will take a 5-minute recess at 9:41 and come back and reconvene at approximately 9:46, 9:50. We will reconvene at 9:46 on the clock. 1, 2, 3. We won't. There's only three of us. All right. Now
we're in daylight here.
We'll reconvene at 9:47 on the clock. Up next, approve or disapprove resolution number 2206 on special use permit 2022-1 for expansion of an existing poultry operation located in the northwest quarter of Section 16 in Hooker Township.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Juergens. Mr. Juergens, do you care for extensive discussion on this?
Nope.
All right.
Not necessary.
We had a unanimous vote from the P&Z. Both public hearings went very well with no opposition. Any discussion on these items at all?
I just want to reiterate the appreciation for talking to your neighbors within a mile before the permit as a commercial facility. I find that extremely important. Thank you.
And that went well. I would ask the board to vote. 6 in favor, motion carries. And I'd like to thank you guys for the additional investment in the county. I'm sorry?
Five of us here.
Oh, 5 in favor. I'm sorry. 5 in favor, motion carries. But no, we do appreciate the additional investment and hard work you're putting in into the area. It's good for everybody. And then to see somebody, you know, from the family living and working the project as well, that's always a great success for everybody. So we're glad to see it. Thank you.
Still like to see this, how it works with no cages to get the eggs.
And we have scheduled next a presentation of the Engage quarterly report, but I see no Engage staff. Derek Dowell is the new executive director. I don't know if did he schedule this.
Trevor Denny said it would either be staff or maybe the new director. So.
Okay, and staff is in limbo right now, and the new director, I'll have to check on this, but I'll find out on this, and we'll put it on a future meeting. Anything else for the good of the order? If not, I'd ask for a motion to adjourn at 9:49.
So move.
Second.
Moved by Dorn. Second by Haxby. Any discussion?
No, thanks.
Please vote. 5 in favor, we are adjourned at 9:49.